All right, here we go, folks. Welcome to Sportsbook Radio from the Brian Blessing Studio, brought to you by Station Casinos and the STN app. The mighty STN app. Forgot to throw that in. I'm Dana Lane. Behind the controls is Chris the Moose Johnson, and of course, the legendary Steve Karp to my right, who decided to come in for the full 2 hours today. I mean, you love this so much that you said, I need more. I mean, an hour is not enough.
I'm friends with the two guests we're having on this morning on Sportsbook Radio, and one of them worked with me, and one of them worked for me. One worked for me, one worked with me.
Do they know that that is the official way you view them?
No. They're both friends. And
if I talk to Ian, does he know he worked for you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
He better, or I'll come up to Hamilton and wring his neck.
Because my wife has informed me from time to time that I work for her, too, and I thought I worked with her. That's not the case. So I just want to make sure. I'm going to ask Alan Snell from LV Sports Biz. I'm going to ask him a hard-hitting question that I need to know.
Okay.
So that's my teaser of the day.
Hey, before we start with our guest today, was last night crazy or what, both basketball and hockey?
I was going to bring that up.
That was nuts what was going on. How does Golden State fall behind Memphis by 55 points? I mean, what was this, like one of those crazy high school girls basketball games where you get beat 112-4?
What on earth
was that?
Golden State had a great fourth quarter.
Yeah. I mean, it's, the outcome had been decided, and they were four-point favorites, if I recall.
Well, we talked about that yesterday, didn't we? We said this is in that number, and you can say all you want. I'm not running around and throwing theories out there. But there is no way, and we brought this up yesterday, how Golden State, playing a team that they've had success against in Memphis, Ja Morant out, and the number's four?
Seemed a little weird. Maybe Steve Kerr's absence was worth a couple of points. I doubt
well,
it.
Well, even if it was six.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, shouldn't that – and you talk about this, Steve. You want to talk about numbers. So now they're setting you up.
Yeah.
You see what's happening in the next game where Golden State is 9.5.
Well, either they're winning and covering the series is ending tomorrow night up at the Chase Center, or Memphis is going to roll right through them and win the series.
I just think this is...
I think it ends tomorrow. I don't know if they'll cover a big number like that, but I expect Curry, Thompson, Green to play a little more substantial minutes than they did last night in Memphis. So I just thought it was weird. But the hockey, that was just strange. These clusters of goals in the Florida-Washington game, in the Rangers-Penguins game. And I'm sure we'll get into the Trouba hit on Crosby on Vegas Hockey Hotline. But it was just a weird night, wasn't it, Dana, sports-wise? I mean,
it's always strange. I mean, even the Celtics, who led by 14 into the fourth quarter, right?
I was stunned. They
led by 14,
on.
Gave that up.
Yeah.
Giannis. I mean, I'm just...
Chris, are you a Giannis guy?
I'm a huge Giannis guy. I think he deserved to win the MVP, honestly, this year. He was in the same level as Jokic. And it just...
By the way, did you see Jokic come in on a harness racing horse?
Yeah.
Was that when he was hugging everybody? And
yes. What was that?
That was so weird.
I'm an old harness racing guy, you know, growing up in New York, going to Yonkers and Roosevelt. Yep. But my God, this guy's gigantic. How would you like to be sitting in the sulky? How'd you like to be the poor horse pulling this guy around the track?
Did you just say Selkie?
Sulky.
Oh, he's never going to win a Selkie.
No, not the Selkie, a Sulky. S-U-L-K-Y. Yeah. The place where the driver sits.
What's even stranger is Doncic actually was the one racing, and he won the race, and that was crazy. So he's great at everything. I thought that was a lot funnier, but okay. Yeah, so Giannis had 40 points last night, 11 rebounds. Yeah. Holiday, 24 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. Portis had 14 and 15 for the defending NBA champions. So 110-107 over Boston. 3-2 series lead now. Memphis shot 50. And this is one thing, and we're talking about the NBA players. Playoffs, I have never seen teams shoot so well. I mean, last night Memphis, over 50, almost 51%.
Yeah.
Just a little bit over 50%.
A little bit.
There has been, from an efficiency standpoint, in the postseason and the NBA, and I think this has been a great, believe me, I'm the first one to jump all over the NBA playoffs when it goes up against the NHL, because I just think the NHL postseason is so much better, which typically it is. The NBA has been holding its own, and maybe it's only because of a lack of close games in the NHL postseason, but the NBA has really been holding its own as far as compelling games. I mean, even this game that was a 39-point game last night, it's compelling to see, well, how much can they blow them out by?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I watched Jaren Jackson just drop a three from like 40 yesterday, and I was like, this is a power forward shooting from there. And I'm like, I was just losing my mind. It was, and then you go and I go to the Celtics-Bucks game, and you see Marcus Smart, the DPOY of the year, get just clamped up by Jrue Holiday the whole way through, and he basically ruined the game for them.
Yeah, what's he doing bringing the ball up way in that situation?
I don't know. That was
very strange.
Jrue Holiday won that game. He did, in my opinion. Those last two possessions, that was massive for them. He got Jason Tatum was wide open for three in that last possession, and Jrue Holiday just double teamed and got it.
Well, you know, Miami can close out Philly tonight, I believe, and then of course Boston has to go to Milwaukee tomorrow. That could end. Golden State could close out Memphis, and then of course we have Dallas and Phoenix, which has been a really good series, by the way. You know, because you've got Luka.
How good has Phoenix been?
Phoenix has been amazing.
I mean, we talked about this after the show. Not just talking this year.
Since the bubble.
Thank you for taking exactly what I told you yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Good job. Took fantastic insight. Since the bubble, they have been insane. Like, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but and they struggled. They didn't. What was it, the bubble? They didn't get in the postseason.
No, they were like on a 10-1 winning streak.
They went on this crazy run,
streak, and then ever since then. They've been on fire.
And now,
no pun intended.
I think when you add a Hall of Famer, Chris Paul, to your lineup and in the locker room, it just changes your dynamic. And, of course, Devin Booker is he's an elite player in this league, and they've got enough complimentary guys. And I think Monty Williams is a very underrated coach, don't you guys?
Very, very.
He's not getting close to the respect he deserves.
Just a couple notes before we bring on our first guest. The Lakers have granted permission to interview Golden State Warriors assistant Kenny Atkinson for the franchise's head coaching job. Sources told ESPN yesterday, Atkinson, who is completing his first season on Steve Kerr's staff with the Warriors, has also emerged as the top candidate for the Charlotte Hornets. He's already interviewed with the Hornets, and of course now he's going to go to LA. Right, and if LA wants him, you know who's going to take.
And we knew him from Brooklyn, of course.
Right.
When he was with the Nets.
Patriots finalized a deal today with backup quarterback Jared Stidham to the Raiders. A source confirmed also by ESPN, the teams will flip a late round draft pick in the deal, according to a source. And this is a guy, he's going to be a third stringer. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, he didn't get a chance very much to play in New England, and of course, he couldn't grab any playing time from Cam Newton as bad as he was.
Remember the people running the Raiders now, so, you know.
Of course. And the other thing, too, that tells you a lot about what they think about Garrett Gilbert, the guy that, you know, I saw in Dallas, and you didn't see, thankfully, very much in the regular season, but you just knew, I mean, just watching practices and preseason games. I mean, this guy is, I mean, I never like to, like, rip on somebody. Especially a guy that's had outside of Cleveland, a guy that really hasn't had a ton of chance. But you could just see out there, this is a guy that if he's on the field, it is hand the ball off and maybe throw a 5-yard out and hope your running back or wide receiver can shake somebody. This is not a guy that's going to throw a dart down the field 40 yards and, you know, lead you to victories on most days. So it's a move. I mean, it's a quarterback move. So obviously it's something that we talk about, but nothing that's going to be earth shattering. Okay. Let's bring in our first guest. I'm a guy I'm going to, I wondered this question. I'm going to ask this question to him. There's a few guys in the industry that seem to know everything about everything. And Ia Cameron is certainly one of those guys. And Alex B. Smith, who we're going to have on a little bit later, is also like that. And Ian, I have to ask you, you know, with knowing a little bit about everything or a lot about everything, I mean, where does it go outside of that? I mean, do you have any personal life? Do you ever go outside? Do you know, like, what does the lawn look like in front of your house at this point?
It's a really good question. I don't think we've attempted to do anything with that so far, Dana. But hey, my friend, it's good to talk to you. It's been a while. It's nice to be on with you. Steve Karp as well. I mean, I was doing some writing at Gaming Today a few years ago when Steve Karp was the editor there. So good to be with you guys today. And sports and the day-to-day grind is my focus. If the lawn falls apart, if my place looks like a pigsty, I'll live with that.
I mean, you think there's always this cloudy hue in your house. It's only because the lawn has grown so much that no sunlight can get through.
Exactly. I mean, it's just eternal darkness for Ian Cameron, especially when the Stanley Cup playoffs are here, because if I'm not watching hockey, I'm probably asleep.
Hey, did you hear David Amber basically admit that he's an avid NHL bettor on Hockey Night in Canada? I wondered how often that people before gambling became something that was cool and accepted in society. I wonder exactly how often people like David Amber has kind of put a toe into the waters of wagering. I would think it's happened a lot more than anybody would like to admit up until this point.
I would think so, too. I mean, I think 5-10 years ago, everybody's wagging their finger and trying to be, you know, saying sports betting's the devil and, you know, don't get involved with it. It can't be any good for anybody. And now everybody just can't wait to say that what they're betting on a nightly basis, including media types. So when you see the way things have changed drastically, for someone like me who's been doing this for over a decade now, I can't believe it's been that long. It's really remarkable to see the change. And now we're seeing sports betting segments on Hockey Night in Canada, Sportsnet bets. You're seeing that constantly. You're seeing people mention, you know, the money lines and the totals on these NHL Stanley Cup playoff games. We're seeing, I don't know how many times, I've lost count how many times I've seen Wayne Gretzky on my television for a BetMGM here in Ontario for the last several months during the playoffs. So it's just a different era, that's for sure.
It's an insane, and how quickly it has all turned from don't talk about it to we're going to have a daily show on ESPN talking about wagering. And hey, look, I mean, we've been saying it forever here in Las Vegas that if you would just kind of put that, you know, that idea around away that, you know, gambling is bad, and using Las Vegas, which was a the wrong poster child to put in front of this. I mean, if anything was bad, it wasn't coming from Vegas. It was coming from areas that you couldn't control wagering. But I'm glad to see it. Hey, Ian, let me ask you, let's attack the NHL tonight. Let's talk about specifically the St. Louis Blues series. And this number with St. Louis minus $1.15, boy, that really is telling me that the books are really begging you to get on St. Louis's side, which pushes me to the other side.
Yeah, and I like Minnesota in 7 in the series. I bet that. I bet an exact series result, 4-3 Minnesota, and the series to go 7 as well. So I'd really like to see a Minnesota win tonight. And really, they got to get their 5-on-5 play going. It's pretty amazing that they had those two goals in quick succession in Game 5. And then after that, basically nothing. And let's give Craig Berube credit. He had a good pulse on this team when he decided, you know what, now's the time to put Jordan Binnington back in net. You know, a guy that's had a disastrous regular season, but a guy that won me a Stanley Cup 3 years ago. And in 2 games, he's played relatively well, in my opinion, for the Blues, and it's kind of tilted that series back in their favor. And credit to the Blues as well, guys. They've been without 3 starting defensemen at times this series. Torrey Krug's missed the last couple games. Nick Leddy was out. Robert Bortuzzo was out. They at least got Leddy and Bortuzzo back the last game, still without Krug. But we've always talked about this, Dana and I, on shows we've done in the past. Cluster injuries on defense, it's a mess. communication breaks down. There's just a lot more loss of coverage defensively in your own zone when you have a situation like that. So the Blues to win back-to-back games like that and take command of this series, you know, just very, very impressive. But I think Minnesota does have a better game in them tonight. They showed in Game 3 they can win in St. Louis. So I'm going to take a shot here with the Wild to extend this to a Game 7.
You know, Ian, I'm curious about the fact that this first round has seen a lot of high scoring. And I wonder if it's not because the referees are calling penalties early, giving teams power plays and early momentum, and sometimes even 4-on-4 play early in games, and even sometimes 5-on-3s. Was this something you were projecting to happen? Because usually these games are kind of a little closer and tight-knit and kind of lockdown type games.
It's been, you know, Steve, it's funny because I actually thought we'd see goals in these playoffs, maybe more than normal, but I didn't expect quite this level of first period over and full game over success overall during this time. And there, to me, there's a bunch of factors that are critical to why we've seen so many goals. One is the penalty situation. Mm-hmm. We have seen just a deluge of penalties across the board in these playoffs. Those stick infractions, they're cracking down on those. And this year, for the first, I think the first year in the playoffs, it's the new rule where in front of the net, cross-checking and all that hacking, those one-on-one battles that in front of the net at playoff time, you'd see this for decades. They'd let all of that go. Well, now they're calling all of that now. And that's leading to more penalties. The second thing is the empty net goals that we see at the end of the games, where coaches down 2 goals, down 3 goals, and in some cases down 4 goals. In the third period, they're pulling the goalie, sometimes with 5, 6, 7 minutes left in the third period, and sometimes in those situations you get 2, 3 goals. We've seen it in multiple games here in the first round. So I think those are the two main elements as to why we've seen just an unbelievable run toward overs here in this first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, and we start. I'll tell you the one. I mean, of course, you know that I watch a lot of Bruins games, but I'll tell you the one. I mean, it was game one where this was an under game between Carolina and Boston, and all of a sudden, you know, Cassidy decides in a 4-1 game for no reason whatsoever to pull the goaltender, and this game goes over the total. But I mean, you're absolutely right. But I would, you know, we talked about this yesterday. I would. You know, caution people moving forward that, especially when you want to lay a goal and a half in these games, these games are going to get tighter as the playoffs go on. So as we don't take what we saw in the regular season and equate it to the postseason, I don't think we should take what we saw in the first round and necessarily feel as if we're going to see that in the second round either.
There's some truth to that, because at some point, don't the players have to adjust to the standard? You know, I know you're shocked maybe, and you're a little taken aback that just the smallest of hooks.
The civil authorities have issued a fire warning for NUCA, beginning at 10:24 a.m. and ending at 11:24 a.m. Evacuation order lifted for the Onion Valley area road has reopened.
Dana, something you're going to want to monitor for sure.
Yeah. Hey, Ian, very quickly, you know, betting on sports in Canada was legalized in the province of Ontario where you live seven weeks ago. What's it been like? How's the handle been? Are there retail books like at Woodbine where somebody could just go in, or do you have to, it's strictly a mobile situation in Ontario? How did the province handle this thing, and what's the numbers been like so far?
Yeah, I haven't seen any numbers yet. I mean, April 1st was really when things really started in Ontario, and all the regulated sportsbook operators just basically flocked here in droves, you know, to get involved. FanDuel and BetMGM and BetRivers and Bet365, and there's just so many, and there's even more that are on the way. I think DraftKings is on the way pretty soon as well to Ontario, but nothing in terms of a sports book at a casino or at a horse track yet. That hasn't started yet. I believe that's in the cards. I believe you're going to see that at some point, but just not as of yet. But no, and in terms of the promotion and the marketing behind this wave of sports betting in Ontario, all you got to do is look at the sporting events that are on TV, whether it's hockey, baseball, Blue Jays games, whatever. You can't watch a commercial break without a sportsbook ad or multiple sportsbook ads. So it is really a big-time blitz right here in this province right now.
I mean, I would imagine that the racetracks, whether it's Woodbine or Mohawk or Flamborough, would want to have, you know, a retail book on their property.
It's a matter of time.
Wouldn't you think, rather than just strictly mobile?
No question. I think that is, it's just, I think, a question of when, not if. I do think that's going to end up. Same with, you know, the big main casinos in Ontario are Casino Niagara.
Yes.
Falls View Casino, also in Niagara Falls, Ontario. And then you've got Windsor Casino and Casino Rama, even in Barrie, Ontario, which is the central cottage country portion of the province.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to see sports books at some point in all of those casinos. And I think they're working towards that. They haven't set a specific date or timeline for that, but they are definitely working toward that, make no mistake.
What other provinces are looking to have legalized sports betting?
That's the, you
is
know
Alberta?
What, the rest of the, Alberta's definitely, I think, next in line from what I've heard, and there's big interest from the operators to go there. BC is, you know, BC's kind of dragging their heels. I think it's one of those situations where you may not see a fully regulated system in every single province like you do currently in Ontario right now. I think there's going to be some provinces, especially the smaller ones, you know, like a Saskatchewan or Manitoba or PEI, for example, out in the maritime provinces where, you know, they just, where's the market? Is it going to be worth our while to invest in this part of the country, you know, in this province in terms of rolling out a regulated sports book, you know, type of deal? So I think Ontario is clearly the number one target. And that's why Ontario's up and running already. I mean, population-wise, Ontario would be the fifth, I believe, biggest state in the United States from a population standpoint. So they see the market, they see the opportunity, and they pounced in Ontario. But from what I've seen, they're in no particular hurry right now with some of the other provinces in Canada.
Yeah, we're talking to Ian Cameron, who does a terrific job with our guest later on, Alex B. Smith. They do a podcast called The Ice Guys. He's also part of the Sports Grid Network, and you've also seen him on VSiN. I mean, there's nowhere you haven't been. Let me go back to the NHL real quick. Ian, Stars Calgary series hasn't been exactly the best brand of hockey that we've seen in the postseason, but isn't this exactly where Daryl Sutter wants his team to be? I mean, beating them 200 feet on a nightly basis, especially when you're talking about a playoff series, I got to think Sutter's very happy where Calgary is right now.
I think so, too, because they're getting better. You know, they're getting stronger as the series goes on. There's question about that. I thought they played a great game four in Dallas. They finally broke through a little bit offensively. And, you know, when you play Dallas, I mean, even last night in the victory, they score a goal and they get the lead and they park the bus. They don't even try to get a second goal. They have been trying to just make that one goal stand up. And it can get frustrating to play a style like that, but they've remained patient. They haven't had defensemen try to jump up in the play to try to create more of a man advantage situation. They've remained patient. They've just taken what Dallas has given them. And eventually they just kept playing their own game. They didn't chase anything. And eventually they tied it up and they ended up coming back last night in the third period. They did not let the Stars, you know, watching paint dry style of play really get to them. They stayed with it. They stayed patient and they were rewarded last night for it with that victory. So to take a 3-2 series lead. So I do think Calgary's going to close out Dallas. It's just a question of whether they do it in Game 6 or Game 7. But I think finally you're starting to see the superiority that the Flames possess in that series. Dallas has been a problem for them over the years, but I think they're finally ready to vanquish them.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming on. One last question from me. I want to switch over to the NBA real quick. Memphis off of a beatdown of the Warriors last night. We were just talking before the show about how this number, we thought the number last night was pretty peculiar with Ja Morant out of the lineup and it just being a four-point favorite for Golden State on the road. And now you come back after this beatdown and we see a nine. Again, it looks to me like the books are begging you to take Memphis.
Yeah, I think so in that one they are. And I think you've got to just wipe away the result of last night. I don't want to say they didn't care, but Golden State knew they got game six at home. We've got a comfortable 3-1 series lead. And once that game got away, it was kind of a let go of the rope situation. But that shouldn't take completely away from Memphis. Memphis showed straight up in ATS, guys, during the season how good they were without John Morant. You know, they'd have Desmond Bane stepping up, Jaren Jackson. The supporting cast would do a whole – Steven Adams was a beast on the glass last night in that victory. Memphis has shown the ability to win without John Morant, but now you're going to go back to New Oracle in San Francisco, Golden State coming off the utmost embarrassing loss you could possibly have. I definitely think the series is going to wrap up in Game 6, and it might be one of those situations where, for me, a first-half full-game split with the Golden State Warriors might be something I look at.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, we appreciate you coming on, Ian, and all the best. Tell everybody where they can find your work.
You can follow me on Twitter, at Bobano, Ice Guys 7 days a week. Make sure you tune on YouTube, the Ice Guys YouTube channel and the Hockey Podcast Network. I do shows for Pub Sports Radio, contribute to Sports Grid and VSiN. We're all over the place and a busy time of year, but it's a great time of year.
Yeah, always great to have you on, Ian. You're fantastic, and we wish you nothing but the best.
You too, guys. Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
All right, they're catching up with you, Ian. Take care.
You too.
There he goes, Ian Cameron from the Ice Guys is really his main thing. Yes, sir.
Before we go to break, a little breaking news.
Okay, let's have it.
There will not be a Triple Crown this year in horse racing.
You're not racing.
Rich Strike has decided to pass on the Preakness. They are appointing him to the Belmont Stakes in June. So, no Triple Crown winner, and the Preakness just got a little more interesting.
Yeah, now I'd love to talk to you about that because, again, this is the greatest horse race I've ever seen in my life. I don't know if it's the best one ever. Maybe this is the way sports are, but Mark Lawrence says, yeah, this was definitely top 3 to 5. But that's interesting. I mean, why does a horse not run? What is it, injury?
I think he maybe came out of the race a little bit empty. He did go on the track this morning, and apparently Eric Reed, his trainer, decided he didn't like what he saw and said, you know what, let's hold off and let's run him in the Belmont, which is, I believe, June 10th or 11th or something like that, and give him a little time off and regroup.
I need time to regroup, too. We'll take a few minutes. Alan Snell from LV Sports Biz will join us when we come back.
STN Sports is the only sports betting app you need this season. STN Sports has it all. In-play betting, mobile parlay cards, the Play Plus card to fund and withdraw from anywhere in Nevada, and up to a $100 new sign-up bonus. STN Sports even lets you earn rewards for every bet. Safe and easy betting from your phone or tablet. Go to StationCasinosports.com or sign up at any Station Casino or Wildfire. Complete details available at all sportsbooks.
Oasis Bar and Grill at 4955 South Decatur near the corner of Trop has been totally renovated. It features incredible food with a kitchen that's open 24/7. Gaming promotions every month. There are cashback drawings for loyal players. The banquet room is spacious and a great venue for any type of function. Sports fans won't miss any of the action with HD TVs throughout the property. Oasis is a great place to meet and make new friends. The staff is fun and engaging. Get in on the fun with great food, great drink, and gaming promotions at Oasis Bar and Grill, 4955 South Dakota.
Experience the thrill of the grill. John Smith Subs is home of the famous Steak Bomb and other premium deli subs with grilled-to-order marinated sirloin steak, grilled chicken, farm-fresh veggies, and delicious bread baked daily. Our subs are making a name for themselves with quality and flavor. Add an order of piping hot French fries, and you have a meal you can't get anyplace else. Experience the thrill of the grill at John Smith Subs. Visit johnsmithsubs.com to find a location near you.
Hey, Golden Knights fans, I'm attorney Adam Kuttner. I'm proud to be an official partner of the Vegas Golden Knights. We're giving you the chance to play at home along with the Golden Knights to win home game tickets through our Power Play giveaway. Each time the Golden Knights are on a Power Play, we'll pick one of my Twitter followers who tags me on Twitter with the hashtag AdamKuttnerPowerPlay And when the Golden Knights score, that lucky fan wins tickets to the Fortress. So make sure to follow me on Twitter. Go Knights, go!
Calling all Vegas Golden Knights superfans for the Terribles Game Day Giveaway. During all of Vegas Golden Knights home games, visit any participating Terribles location, make a qualifying purchase, get a scratch card in or on the Terribles app, and you could win a $1,000 Golden Knights shopping spree! Best yet, one lucky customer will win this prize every day the Vegas Golden Knights have a home game. Terribles Game Day Giveaway. It's only at Terribles. Visit Terribles.com for more details.
Oasis Bar and Grill at 4955 South Decatur near the corner of Trop has been totally renovated. It features incredible food with a kitchen that's open 24/7. Gaming promotions every month. There are cashback drawings for loyal players. The banquet room is spacious and a great venue for any type of function. Sports fans won't miss any of the action with HD TVs throughout the property. Oasis is a great place to meet and make new friends. The staff is fun and engaging. Get in on the fun with great food, great drink, and gaming promotions at Oasis Bar and Grill, 4955 South Decatur.
STN Sports is the only sports betting app you need this season. STN Sports has it all. In-play betting, mobile parlay cards, the Play Plus card to fund and withdraw from anywhere in Nevada, and up to a $100 new sign-up bonus. STN Sports even lets you earn rewards for every bet. Safe and easy betting from your phone or tablet. Go to StationCasinosports.com or sign up at any Station Casino or Wildfire. Complete details available at all sportsbooks.
All right, welcome back to Sportsbook Radio, sponsored by Station Casinos. I know, he's still going on.
Rocking out to Fleetwood Mac? Mm-hmm. Really?
I love it.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for you.
All right.
I actually need to get one of their vinyls soon. That's my goal next, get a vinyl of theirs.
Well, get Rumors. If you're going to get a Fleetwood Mac vinyl, get Rumors. That's their best album.
Well, that's what this show is. For.
That's what they're best known for.
That's what this show is based on.
What's that?
Rumors.
Rumors.
So that's the soundtrack of our show.
Very good.
Sportsbook Radio brought to you by Station Casinos and the STN app from the Brian Blessing Studio. That's Chris the Moose Johnson behind the controls. The legendary Steve Karp to my right. And we were talking, before we get to our next guest, we were talking about horse racing potentially coming to Vegas at some point, and it was here. And for all those that don't know this, Racetrack Road out near Boulder Highway, there's a reason it was named that, because that's where the track
was. Las Vegas Downs.
So, I mean,
actually, Las Vegas Downs is where the country club is now. Where the Las Vegas Country Club exists?
Yep.
That's where the racetrack was, across from the old Hilton. Now,
don't they have... And I
think you're talking about, it was an auto track.
No. The racetrack road is out by...
I'm not talking about the current speedway. I think there was a dirt racetrack out near Basic High in Boulder.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. I mean, anyway, they were you know, killing over in the middle of August because everybody thought that would be a good time to race horses.
Well, and they're talking about building a harness track, not a thoroughbred track.
And see, I'm not... Listen, that doesn't matter to me either way.
That's a story for another day, although if we do have that discussion, we should ask our next guest about that, since he deals in the world of sports business.
All right, well, let's bring in our next guest, Alan Snell from LV Sports Biz. Alan, first, before we get to the questions I want to ask you, and we'll talk about horse racing and Formula One and all that stuff, I wanted to ask you, do you remember the time that you and I had coffee at IKEA? Do you remember that day? It was a couple years ago?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so now, I was thinking one day, I thought, you know, this is before your website came up. Were you interviewing me at that point to write for your website? Because it seemed like a peculiar coffee date to have at IKEA. And if you were, why did I not get the job?
I think we were just kind of chit-chatting.
You just wanted to meet me.
Yeah, I was kind of at the time, I think you were very much It was at the beginning of the Vegas Golden Knights, and you know, people were kind of curious about the start and launch of the franchise. And I was just, I think it was kind of a chit chat, meet and greet kind of setting.
Okay, so I was never considered to write for your site.
You're welcome anytime. I just don't have the big writing budget.
But, you just can't pay you, Dana.
Well, I mean, any budget is above and beyond what I make here. I just like to make guests uncomfortable.
That's... By the way, did you guys run to William Carlson at IKEA?
No, I did not, but that is...
Because he, you know, obviously he's from Sweden. IKEA is a Swedish corporation.
He so naturally, known, he would hang out there.
He has been known. He has said this. He has said this before, that he has bought furniture and other items at IKEA.
Well, that's...
And so, and yeah, it's a big freaking store, but there is a possibility that you're not going to run into too many guys with long blonde hair that play hockey. All right?
Yeah,
so, you know, William Carlson does frequent IKEA. I thought maybe...
Frequents IKEA.
Maybe you guys ran into him. Who the hell knows? Jeez. I'm just being a smart ass, Alan.
Hey, Alan, I did want to ask you, in all seriousness, we always appreciate your insight. You're an avid cyclist, and I bet you were pretty excited about the newest event that's coming to Las Vegas that's also going to involve the Las Vegas ballpark.
Yeah, the Tour de France is, you know, for Americans to understand, it's pretty much the worldwide Super Bowl of bike racing, and they have these kind of promotional events where they have kind of a little taste of the Tour de France by putting on a race and having rides in local towns, literally around the world, actually. And I think Las Vegas was picked for the second site in the United States. And it's kind of a really intriguing deal because the LVCVA is involved in being a sponsor. And usually they sponsor, you know, like kind of the big events. You know, we just saw them involved in the NFL draft, and they're spending tens of millions of dollars on the Super Bowl. And the Formula One deal was just approved on Tuesday at their monthly board meeting. And they usually don't get involved with these kind of outdoorsy kind of events, but they're even involved in this particular Tour de France event next May. It'll be May of 2023. And like you said, the Las Vegas ballpark will be the site. In fact, there's a 5:30 press conference, I think, today at the ballpark before the game to bring in some of the this bicycle event participants.
And I wanted to ask you also about that Formula One race that's coming. We know the F1 just bought the land where the old ice club still stands. I mean, it apparently is still intended for a hotel property at one point. But I think, wasn't George Clooney going to build a property there at one point? And also, what can this be used for? I mean, obviously, they're going to come here and have the race, but can this be used for something else, the other major portion of the year?
Yeah, that's a good question. I actually had our LV Sports Biz writer, Randy Cannon, include that information in his story on Tuesday. And from what I understand from the reporting, there'll be kind of a paddock area and kind of a staging area and the start-finish line and everything. So he had thrown out the idea that there's always a possibility for maybe a F1-themed restaurant or something out there as well. So we'll see what happens with that.
Hey, Alan, given that F1 bought that land at Koval and Harmon, and I remember the A's were talking about a potential ballpark site there. If that is the case with F1, are we looking at the A's looking at the Tropicana Hotel site now as the primary site if they were to move from Oakland?
Yeah, I guess so. I, to tell you the truth, fellas, I have not really been drinking the Kool-Aid on the Oakland Athletics, you know, coming to Las Vegas. I know that there's been a lot of discussions, and they're looking at sites and all this, and they're having problems with their deal in Oakland. I've never really bought into the Oakland A's building a baseball park at Tropicana and Las Vegas Boulevard. I just spoke with Sisolak just literally a few days ago, and he said there's no public money for a baseball park. And to me, you know, when a team or a league is in negotiations and they have public money on the table, then my ears will perk up, and then I'll take it seriously and I'll write about it. But, you know, until there's public money designated for a Oakland A's baseball park, I'm just kind of waiting. I'm just waiting on the sidelines, and then, you know, until something realistic comes. I mean, to me, I report when I feel like something's viable or compelling. And, you know, to me, until there's public money for a baseball park, Sisolak said there's no money right now. You know, until that happens, you know, I'm just not buying the Kool-Aid on the base on Oakland A's in Las Vegas yet.
Yeah, and you know, when you were talking to the governor at the Aces game the other day, you also talked to Mark Davis, the owner of the Aces, but you weren't really talking to him about the WNBA. You were more concerned about the NFL and the situation surrounding his team and the firing of his president, as well as the resignation of one of the top people in the front office. And you wrote about this in LV Sports Biz. What do you make of the whole situation surrounding Mark Davis? Is this like Daniel Snyder light? Is the NFL really going to look into Mark Davis like they have with Washington, with the Commanders and Daniel Snyder?
Well, you know, like in all kind of messy relationships, I guess the way to put it is it's complicated. I think right now, the you know, the fired president Dan Ventrelli, you know, he lobbed a pretty powerful allegation about not only were there workplace problems, but also that Mark Davis was dismissive of them and did not take them seriously, and that's why he had to take these, you know, allegations to the NFL. Right now, it's unclear to me whether they're at the level of a Daniel Snyder Washington situation, which from the sounds of it is kind of one of your more worst-case scenario situations. I'm not sure it's at that level. The one thing I did include in the story, and you know, you can't deny, and you can't really deny this, is that Mark Davis has been an advocate for women with the Las Vegas Aces franchise. I mean, he has really stocked the entire front office with legitimate women hires, and they're all good hires. The president, Nikki Fargus, is a huge name in college basketball, and Davis did a lot of recruiting to get her. And they've like I said, you know, there's the whole front office with Davis's basketball team is all women, and they're all legit. So. It's a complicated situation, Steve. I've done some reporting. I'm really not at the state of the story to kind of reveal or just kind of, you know, do a story right now. But it's a complicated story that's going to have to take some time to unravel.
There's certainly layers to unravel as we go along here. But I also, real quick, Bill Foley, you know, he's got his hands full of the Golden Knights right now. I want to ask you about his indoor football league team, the Nighthawks. I've seen a little bit of games on TV. I'm not seeing a bunch of people in the stands. From what I understand, if you bought a season ticket to the Silver Knights to play a dollar loan, you had to also purchase tickets for indoor football. Is that accurate? And if that's true... How is that allowed? What kind of weird business practice is that, if that's the case?
Yeah, I did receive some complaints from Henderson Silver Knights season ticket owners, owners who said that they automatically billed them for the indoor football games, too, and that you had to take the effort to opt out of the Nighthawks football games. Now, that, to me, is, you know... I don't know. I don't think that's a really cool business practice.
It's unethical to me.
Yeah, I mean, just to automatically bill your season ticket holders for one sport for another sport just because you own both is, to me, that kind of crosses the line. But, you know, it's in the same building, and you did have to opt out. I did go for the initial game, and the first game seemed like it was pretty exciting. I haven't been past games. You know, guys, the Indoor Football League is going to use that arena as a quote-unquote neutral site for their championship game.
Yeah. Well, good luck to them with that. But I was in that building for the first Silver Knights home game, and I was also there for the Big West tournament. And it's a nice enough building. Obviously, the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame has a home there. As a member of that, I'm proud of that. But I also thought that the concessions were limited and overpriced, and I thought the concourse was so narrow and small. It reminded me of Nassau Coliseum a little bit, Alan. What were your thoughts of the building?
As you know, I did kind of do a little story on, you know, some of my impressions, and I do definitely,
which were not good.
And
the reviews were not favorable.
I mean, there were points for a new arena. I was kind of surprised at there were some kind of bottlenecks on the main concourse there, which, you know, I think what exacerbated that problem was that some of the grab and run food places had kind of the crowds kind of, you know, going into the concourse. And I know there's a big fan there who sometimes she uses a wheelchair, and she had definitely had issues trying to get through there. And
in
regards to the food, I mean, that's a Levy Restaurants deal. They're the vendor. And I've already told the folks at the arena, I just thought, you know, just really for your kind of fast food kind of stuff, it was well priced. I mean, you know, for their items. It's a brand new arena. You know, technically speaking, the city of Henderson is the owner of it. I would have liked to have seen even the city of Henderson have a little more presence. They obviously have a lease agreement with the Foley Group for their programming. The one cool thing, Steve, and this is something which, you know, you can appreciate since you're a Hall of Fame member, you know, that display really is impressive. I do like the Southern Nevada Hall of Fame display that you have on one end of the arena there in the concourse.
Yeah, I invite anybody who goes to the arena, go check it out, not just to see my name and stuff, plaque, but all the members. There's like, I think, over 130.
Yeah, let's get Brian Blessing's name in there. How about that? Somehow.
We'll talk to the powers that be, see if we can get him elected posthumously. Alan, one last thing from me very, very quickly. It's an arena issue. I was talking to a friend of mine. He informed me that his Golden Knights season tickets are going up 7% for next season. And in addition, he has to pay $3 surcharge per ticket per game for what is being referred to as a arena upgrade fund. Are you aware of this thing? And this has been going on since day one, from what I've been told. They must have one hell of a war chest that they're building up, collecting interest for the day when they've got to do renovations to T-Mobile Arena. That seems really, really strange that the people who support and go to the arena have to pay to upgrade it.
You know, Steve, I actually have this item on the homepage of my site. I keep it up there. I have the average Golden Knights ticket along with the average Raiders home ticket. The Golden Knights average home ticket is $124.09, and it does include, and like you said, it does include this arena improvement fee. They've had the fee on for several years now.
Yes.
And when I talked to Kerry Bubos about it when it was first instituted, he said they were using the money for items like, if you recall, they had the those protective gates, you know, like around the arena that you see outside of the arena, out on the roads and stuff. You know, that's something they had to put in. It's, you know, it's kind of quote-unquote infrastructure, if you will.
Yeah, the bullets
for the arena.
Out.
So,
yeah, I know.
Yeah, I mean, they do. Those are the kind of things they do. They were spending the money on that they were collecting. But, you know, for a relatively new building, I will say that I have been reading fan complaints about, you know, why is there an arena improvement fee when the building is so young?
Yeah, it's always 6 years old.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's in decent shape, but
it's not like it's Fenway
Park.
That's
just talking. I was just looking at the home ticket average, $124. It's the fourth most expensive average ticket in the NHL.
Toronto,
the Rangers home ticket Raiders home ticket is $153. That is the most expensive average ticket, and you know our market. You know, granted, we get 40 million plus visitors a year, but our market ranks around, I think, 27th in the United States in terms of size, 2.3 million and growing. And, you know, guys, those are expensive tickets, you know, for a market this size.
Tell me about
Major League Sports.
And we're talking about wanting to bring the NBA and Major League Baseball and MLS to the city. And we're going to have an indoor soccer team, lacrosse team. I don't know where everyone's buying these tickets. Where are they getting the money?
Oh, we're just rolling our sleeves up and working hard. I mean, you know, unemployment rate going plummeting down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Not really. But, hey, Alan, let me ask you real quick about that. I mean, how do you anticipate that the love affair with the Golden Knights will move forward? There's been, you know, some negative publicity over some deals that they've made and lack of a postseason experience. And, I mean, you can keep those ticket prices up where they are as long as you're giving back to the people that are purchasing them. And I don't think not making the postseason, and we understand why, not making the postseason, I would think a lot of those guys, people that are willing to pay those ticket prices will say, well, hold on a second. You know, this is a give and take relationship, and this year you were the only one taking.
Well, you know, I listened to Steve's little intro a couple of days ago when he came on about how the Golden Knights have this emotional hold on the market, and you know, right now, you know, if you're an upset fan and you don't want to renew your season tickets, you can do that. You have the right to do that, but you know, the Golden Knights do have this waiting list, so. You know, you might leave, but you're going to be replaced. So as long as – and, you know, also, if you've been to the games, you've seen some of the – even though they announced 18,000-plus for the announced attendance, you know there's, like, several thousand less than that live beings in the building itself. You, I mean, you've seen the empty seats at the end of games, you know, throughout the season. But as long as they have people replacing those who are not renewing their season ticket hold, they can charge, you know, $120, you know, a ticket on average. And sure. You know, as long as there's a waiting list, you're going to see the ticket prices.
Hey Al, last question: what does it mean when Bill Foley says that he's going to be more involved? I mean, there is this perception that he's already been involved, but I don't think that that's the case as far as the day-to-day running as a team, and maybe there's some suggestions, but I get the impression that he said, hey, look, you know, I mean, every good businessman will tell you, I got this way because I hired good people to do their job, and I wouldn't imagine Bill Foley would treat this any different than any other business, but this is telling me I haven't been involved, and now I'm going to be more involved, and the question remains, is he qualified other than the guy who runs the team and owns the team, is he qualified to be involved?
Well, I will say this. When the franchise in year one started, he personally told me that he was popping into the office, talking with Kerry Bubos, talking with Todd on the ticket issues and stuff. So at one time, he was really, you know, involved in the situation.
Yeah, well, they had four people in the organization.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I mean, it's unclear to me how much he does have a hands-on relationship with the day-to-day runnings. I mean, of it. I mean, as you know, Bill Foley's operations are a lot more than just the Golden Knights. I mean, he has this sports and entertainment banner, if you will. This corporate operations company that oversees. Yeah, he's running an arena now. I mean, his Henderson Group runs his Foley Group runs the Henderson Arena, and he has a complete portfolio of wineries and hospitality options as well. You know, these hotels in Oregon and California. So there's a lot going on. To tell you the truth, I just don't know if he's coming into the City National Arena offices and just checking in with everyone on a daily basis. But, you know, he does have his hand on the pulse. You know, he also runs, you know, the restaurants in these arenas that he has. They're his restaurants. Yeah. They're part of his own restaurant chain. Yep. Those are his brands.
Well, we would love to. We would love to ask him exactly what that means. I mean, perhaps we have to do a podcast out of Canada to get that answer. But, Alan, you're the best, and we appreciate you coming on. Tell
Thank
everybody
you,
where
Alan.
We can get your work.
Listen, you guys have to hire a Canadian reporter to get in with McPhee.
Apparently so.
What can I tell you?
Well, we can get Evie and Cameron.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Talk to George.
Alan, where can we find your work, Alan?
Just check out lvsportsbiz.com. I always love talking with you guys. You know, I'm big fans of both of you. And as I end, every time I talk, I always say RIP Brian and also Frank Harnish as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we appreciate it very much, Alan. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back with Vegas Hockey Hotline, Alex B. Smith will be with us in 30, and then we'll touch on the NHL playoffs coming up tonight.